past Tuesday, we took the seventh graders to Pilsen for a pilgrimage. That's, we do that every year at the end of the year, seventh graders going into the eighth grade year. And we usually tried to walk the trek from Father Capron's homestead to into Pilsen, but it was pretty rainy and muddy. So we took the main road, so it was a 2.5 mile walk in the town. And then we had some talks with some of the seminarians with us, and we celebrated Mass. And if you've ever been to St. John the Nepomucene Church in Pilsen, a beautiful older church in which sound carries very well. And so when we were singing at Mass, well, really especially the girls singing during Mass, we were singing the Latin Mass parts, and they were singing very well, and it was resounding through the whole church. And I noticed myself, and I noticed other adults just like kind of being caught up in like, wow, that was impressive. We kind of were taken, and then people were commenting on how beautifully the girls were singing, and it was, you know, a testament to the power of music and the power of sacred song to move one's heart effectively towards God. This is everything that God has created is to lead us from the visible to the invisible, right? So creation leads us to the Creator. So when we, you know, when we witness something good, when we witness something beautiful, the beautiful thing is not the end in itself. It's to point us beyond, right? And so if we were, you know, listening to these ladies singing and we're caught up and were to think that this is it right here, this beautiful music, well, we would be taking a gift from God and making it really into an idol. What the beautiful does is leads us into encounter beauty. So from the beautiful to beauty. And that's where we begin to encounter God in a profound way, the visible to the invisible. And we can, you know, think about the Catholic Church and, you know, how the Catholic Church invites people to encounter God. It's through sacramental signs, right? Through these visible signs. And they lead us, then they send a message, they direct us in a particular way to enter into the invisible, into the mystery of God. God is not an abstraction. He's spiritual. It's a big difference. Spiritual is reality. Abstraction is not reality. The one of the, as far as popes for the last 100 years, probably the best one who's been able to capture the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and relating to this mystery has been Pope Benedict XVI. So he's a great dogmatic theologian. And he speaks about that the human person is made in the image of God. We're made in the image of God. But what he says is we're not made in the image of God as an individual. We're made in the image of God as relationship. So he says father, mother, and child. That's how we image God. And sometimes, I know growing up, my thought was we image God individually. Well, that's only part of the picture. Something's missing. So father, mother, and child. And he goes on to say, what cannot be depicted in an image cannot be thought about or related to. So if we don't have an image, if we don't have something that we see, we can't think about that thing. That's obvious, right? And so he says that in the Old Testament, the most powerful image for God is Father. And so that would also include mother and child, that whole entity, you might say. And when you don't have a particular image like that or any kind of image, if it wasn't for that revelation, we would not be able to relate to God. And he talks about how the difficulty over the centuries before Christianity in which people had in relating to God, the kind of God that people related to. And so he speaks about the Greeks relating to Zeus, who they called Father. But this Father, what kind of a Father was Zeus? Very arbitrary. And what did the people do? They tried to, you know, offer sacrifices so they could get his favor, right? This kind of God was not necessarily caring about any kind of any individual. It was self-concerned. And so often we as human fathers, we can kind of fall into that, not being fair or not being kind or acting out of an arbitrariness, right? So he says even human fathers are often not consistent in reflecting the image of God the Father. And he goes on to say how, you know, ultimately God the Father is kind love. He is a kind father. Well, how do we know that he's a kind father? Because we don't, sometimes he says in the image, we don't see that kindness in mothers and fathers and children. He said that's why he sent his son Jesus Christ. So Jesus then makes up for all of the distorted images, you might say, that have failed to reflect the truth of who God is. And so Jesus is the perfect image of the Father. What does Jesus say? Whoever sees me sees the Father, right? And so how do we come to know the goodness of God? By contemplating the face of Jesus, continuously contemplating the face of Jesus. Because of, now I'm not saying that father, mother, child, that's still an important face to contemplate and an important experience for us to lead us to God, but it's not going to be the perfect image. The perfect image of God the Father is Jesus Christ. And what does he do? He leads us through him to communion, loving communion with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So all of this is an incredible, difficult mystery, but God has been continually revealing himself through these signs and through these images so that we as spiritual beings can enter into relationship with mystery itself. The best way, or one of the more profound ways that we proclaim our belief in the Trinity is through reciting the Nicene Creed. It's the most succinct capturing of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so let us together stand and profess our faith.